Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hello and welcome to Everything Iconic with me, Danny Pellegrino. I have a great show for you today. Scott Evans is here. He's, of course, an actor on Grace and Frankie. He's going to be breaking down the MTV Lohan show with me, which is in its second week, and I'm loving it. I'm living, laughing, loving it. It is so good. One of the greatest TV villains of our time, Brent from the Lohan MTV show. I mean, he is amazing TV, but also the most horrible human being maybe I've ever seen. Also, I keep getting confused on the name. It's like either Lohan Beach Club or Lohan Beach House. Unclear. I'm refusing to learn it. I tried. I Googled it a bunch of times. Wrote it down. I'm not going to learn it. I can spell Ryan Phillippe's last name, but I'm not sure if it's Lohan Beach Club or Lohan Beach House. You know, my mind can only learn so many things. I don't know about you guys, but I find that my mind is just, it takes in the most bizarre things. Like, I've mentioned this on the show, like, I can, at the drop of the hat, remember that Kristen Takeman's line of nail polish was called Pop of Color. famously a bad idea because the acronym for it is POC, which is also Persons of Color. People of Color. What an idiot. What a dumb name she chose for her nail polish. But I can remember that. Like, it's my birth name or my birthday. Like, that just sits in my head, you know, and then other things I can't remember at all. I mean, like, I learn things in high school, like in history class or math. Like, I can't do math to save a life. Somebody asked me to divide the other day. I could not divide. Like, Matt and I were trying to do this, our bills, and he like asked if I could divide like two very simple numbers. And I was like, can't do it. Can't do it. He's like, what's 24 divided by 2? I'm like, I'm not sure. Unclear. I refuse to remember that. But I will remember that The Real Housewives of New York did a cast shakeup in season 4, after season 4, and they got rid of Cindy Barshop, Kelly Ben Simone, Jill Zarin, and Alex McCord, and then brought in Carol Radziwill, Aviva Drescher, and Heather Thompson. Holla. Anyway, I want to bring Scott out to talk about the Lohan show. Beach Club or Beach House? Unclear. He's fantastic. He was on the show a while back doing Vanderpump with me. We're going to talk about this episode. And then afterwards, I'm going to break down The Real Housewives of New Jersey because we have to talk about that too. Melania debuted her song, which I love when one of those Giudice girls debuts a song. Do you remember when Gia at Melania's birthday party started singing about her broken family? I mean, those girls hit you where it hurts. Now, Melania's new song is, one of the lyrics is, we ain't chasing boys, we chasing checks. And if that's not something that's made for a pillow, like, I need to see that embroidered on a pillow immediately on my couch. I want it in a coffee mug. I think it's a lesson for us all. Do not chase boys, chase checks. If I can impart any wisdom via Melania's new song, it's that you should be chasing checks, not chasing boys. Words of wisdom. Also, just as powerful as Gia's song when she was talking about her broken family. But we're going to talk all about that after the Lohan recap. So please stay tuned. Before I get to Scott, I want to say please find me on social media at Danny Pellegrino on Twitter and Instagram. If you want bonus episodes and you want to support this podcast, please head on over to patreon.com/everythingiconic. For $4 more per month, you get access to all the bonus episodes. There's a Kelly Clarkson pop dive. There's a comeback pop dive. There's Housewives of New York recaps. Also, last week, I did a recap of Atlanta and New Jersey for Patreon, and that I put up, that I put up on there for free. So it's, you don't have to pledge any money or anything. You can go listen to that from last week. I want to thank Samsung Technologies for sponsoring the show. Let's bring out Scott Evans, talk Lohan, and then New Jersey afterwards. Okay, guys, I'm here with my friend Scott Evans. Scott, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you, Danny?
I'm so glad you're back. Now, we talked about Vanderpump Rules last season.
Yes, we did. And we did it, I think, in the afternoon, so we had, like, drinks with us.
Right. Not I can pour you a drink if you want.
Well, it's 11 a.m., so
it's,
I think I should
keep 5 o'clock somewhere.
Well, but not here. I literally got out of bed 5 minutes ago.
You're a night owl.
Well.
Scott, tell me about, you're watching Lindsay Lohan. You texted me about the show.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, my God, you have to come on this show to talk about it.
Absolutely, because we like all the same trashy TV.
Right. Did you fall in love with the show right away, like the first episode?
The first episode, it was good. Like, Panos, is that how you say his name?
Yeah.
He is going to be good TV.
You can just tell.
It's like, okay, all right. And then this past week, it was like, he was even more intense. It was exciting.
Yeah. I think the first episode I loved. I really loved it. But then this episode was when I was finally like, okay, like, this is a season pass show. Like, I'm not going to miss it.
You got to stick with it.
Like, they really, like, leaned in, and they found one of the best TV villains I've seen in some time. With Brent.
I could not believe this episode. Like, the first episode, I was like, he's going to be a mess. He's kissing the clients, and he's, you know, making the money, and he's yelling at people, and he's being the alpha male. And then this week, it was like, ooh,
like full reality TV monster.
Tequila. It's like Tequila Katie.
Yes, yes.
Like, it's a nightmare.
I saw people describe him as the Lohan version of Jax. Like, he's like the Jax for the show. Like,
could he even be worse?
But like, I think he is worse because he's smarter than Jax. He seems like he's not dumb.
And he's got thicker eyebrows.
He's got thicker eyebrows, but he's not like a dumb. Like, I think like Jax, sometimes Jax can be like evil, manipulative, all those things. But Brent is those things, but like in a more calculated way. He's more, I don't know, it's scarier to me.
Well, he can push the buttons. Oh my God, that little conversation with like the blonde, what's her name, Jules, when he was just like, well, first of all, blondes aren't, you know I'm not into blondes. So the first day I was like, oh no, oh no.
And that was like the first day. And then this episode, we're going to go through the episode like scene by scene.
All right.
They open this week, we open with kind of a rehash of last week. So it was like, I even was watching the episode and I was like, wait, is this last week's episode? Because they were like doing a heavy rehash.
Well,
of
and
last
Billy,
week.
Do I even remember Billy from the first episode?
No, there was like a few people. I think there's like a lot of people. It's like that Sir cast photo they show
in the beginning. You're like, oh, that's a
and
season
then
character.
By the end of the season, you're like, oh, that's who that is.
That's the lead, yeah.
But this episode, yeah, we learned Billy. I don't remember him at all from last season. Mm-mm. And you asked me before we were recording, is Mike the only like gay or bi, whatever?
Yeah,
LGBT and. I don't think so. Like, I was watching an interview with the cast on, like, page 6 or something, and there was a gay there, but I was like, I don't think we've seen him on the show yet.
I mean, and Aristotle is straight?
I think. I don't know. He did rub that man's feet.
He did.
Everyone has a story, different as night and day, and everyone has their own journey.
So they're all at the beginning of the episode, they're talking about this house, and they said there was like a voiceover. They said, we put them all in this nice house to show them what it's like if they work for the Lohan brand. And it's like, well, wait, are they going to be housing these people? Like, this setup of the show is a little confusing to me because I'm like, are they getting rid of some of the cast members? Are they going to
well,
be
and on top of that, it's like, if you're putting them there, like, let's see how serious they are about working for the Lohan brand. It's like, don't put tequila in the house. Don't put it there. You're making good TV. This is on purpose.
Right. Like, let's not try to trick ourselves.
And you know, they have like their serious employees, like the real bartenders. They're like, you're not living in that house and you're not allowed to drink. You show up, do all the work. These are the pretty faces that are going to be the drunks.
And then Panos, who I live for Panos, he just said, we didn't bring them here to have a vacation. And it's like, yes, we did.
You 100% did.
You put them in a vacation house with alcohol.
They're like, living a vacation. Go drink with people and get them to spend money. That's like what I do on vacation.
Right. Right. Have you been to this area? Have you been to...
I've never been to Greece.
Greece? Yeah.
I've never been.
I had to think about where they were.
Well, and then the whole fish thing, she was like, it's a very small island. I was like, you have to buy the fish like whole and chop it up yourself and eat the eyeball? Can you get it like a little deboned?
There were scenes in this that were like a thriller. Like, oh, it was like that. The scenes with the fish like was shocking to me. We'll get there. But the theme song I'm living for, like that.
When I heard it, I was like, she is not using this song.
She is. And it's perfect. It's the best theme song for my money since maybe like the Hillary Duff song for The Hills.
Oh,
or the Laguna Beach.
Which was also incredible.
Right.
Yeah,
amazing.
The Hills was
or
Natasha.
The Natasha Bedingfield for The Hills. But I mean, it's fantastic.
Which is also coming back. You're going to have a lot to talk about.
I know. So then Lindsay arrives with someone who is wearing a fanny pack around his chest. And Lindsay was dressed like a candy cane, like when they entered the scene for this episode. It was like the fashions, I'm having trouble wrapping my head around.
Well, in all like the opening scenes, and it was like literally the opening scene, she's in like those deep blues. And I remember thinking, I was like, she's wearing, these are good colors for her that she's wearing. And all of a sudden she was in that like red and pink thing where her skin tone is kind of a mixture of the two candy cane stripe colors.
The outfits are insane. And the confessionals, it's like sometimes she's on the resort, she's dressed like really loose sometimes, like it'll be just like a smaller, you know, sundress or something.
Yeah, and then, very comfortable.
And then in the confessional, she'll be in like a button up all the way to the top, showing no skin.
She's a boss.
And then the makeup is all over the place.
There were some like one of her confessional looks with like the super red eyes and like a pink lip. Listen, I'm not one to know about makeup, right. But I know that like she looked like a little bit of Ebola.
I'm wearing rouge right now. And
oh yeah, I mean I got it 5 minutes ago, but always have time for rouge.
And then they keep flashing back every time they show Lindsay. They're flashing back to like paparazzi shots, and I love that they have that. They're using that footage.
Oh. I can't even handle it in the first episode. Go on. When she was talking about the girl wearing the bra to meet her boss, and she goes, like, I'm not going to show up to my meetings with Steven Spielberg, like, in a bra. I was like, oh, no. Oh, I'm not one to judge, but
do you think
that is just...
How many meetings do you think Lindsay's had with Steven Spielberg throughout the years?
God, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if she'd had one. Like but
around,
I don't think
around 04,
I don't think she was an age where she was wearing bras.
Right. Right.
So I don't think that would have been an issue.
What year do you think this was? Like that she
met with honestly, like how old is Lindsay? I'm actually
she's like our age ish.
Are we our age?
I think you're a couple of years older. She was born in 85, I think, or 86.
Okay.
So I think she's my 83, I was right. 85.
Oh, that could yes. be our age.
Oh, right. She's a millennium. Or a millennial.
Oh, she's a millennium. Great. Old man.
They also kept showing, did you notice when they would show like the Polaroid pictures? I don't know if you caught this, but they were showing that her and Panos like have known each other for years.
And they're
right?
like old ones.
And they were showing like random Polaroids, but one was just a Polaroid of like her with a cigarette and like Panos was behind her with a big glass of wine. And
they were like in the same club.
It was like the most bizarre.
They found it later.
Polaroid. That was like, why are they showing this? Like what? It was to show that they've known each other forever, but then it was just like Lindsay with a cigarette.
They weren't even talking.
Yeah, they like didn't even know each other.
She's like, can I call Oprah? Should I use this picture?
Did you ever see the pictures of Lindsay and Vanessa Lachey?
No.
Oh my God, Scott.
Vanessa Lachey. Was she Lachey when she was taking she pictures was not, of Lindsay?
So no, but
was it Manila?
It was the darkest photo shoot ever. Like, they literally got back after a club, and they're taking photos with knives. And it's literally like...
Like at home? Like in the kitchen?
In the kitchen. And they have like cigarettes in one hand and like very large kitchen knives in their other hands. And they're trying to be sexy. And so like Vanessa Lachey... What was her old...
Manila, right?
Yeah, she has like the tip of the knife's like by her mouth. And she's trying to look sexy. They're like so fucked up. And the fact that Vanessa Lachey is now like rehabbed her image and she's in like fucking Hallmark movies and stuff.
Like literally like family woman of the year.
Somehow they got these photos like erased. You could still find them on the internet if you Google.
You could find anything.
You could Google Lindsay Lohan, Vanessa Lachey knives.
I will be doing that and I'll post it.
There's like five photos and they're the crazy. They're so fucked up. And it's actually like, it's past the point of funny where it's just like really dark.
Was it like what year was this? Were they taking it like with their sidekicks? Like
probably, yeah. I think it was like a little after. I would guess like 2009, 2010.
Oh my God, that was quite a year.
I mean, it was, and now Vanessa's like a, you know, a mother
distancing herself.
But the best though, my point was they have cigarettes in one hand.
I mean, that sounds perfect. And now that Vanessa's a mother, she can bring her baby there. We learned in this episode, it's a family place.
Right. It's a family, which none of us had any idea.
It's a family place. Kids also, running around.
Also, just speaking of cigarettes, Billy and what's his name? Brent were smoking cigarettes. And I always say that a good reality TV star is willing to smoke on camera.
Well, they need to go have smoke breaks so they can have talks.
Right. Right.
About the other people.
Right. I love it.
Well, and I love the setup of the house is perfect if they can go outside and think they're having a private conversation and everybody else is listening in. Right. They're listening perfectly in. Heard every fucking word.
And meanwhile, all these people at the house that are these workers, they're all saying how they want to learn from Lindsay. They want to learn. They're like, this whole episode, they're like, we want to learn from the best. While I'm here, I want to learn. And it's like, do you want to learn from her? Like, she's not someone you should want to learn from.
Well, it's like they watch Vanderpump Rules and they're like, this is what I'm supposed to say, the opportunity. I want to learn from Lisa. It's like, this is not just like, how many mugshots?
I'm trying to go through the episode, but it's not working because everything's just flashing in my head. Did you see when Lindsay, there was like a shot where Lindsay was like at the resort and she just went to one of the VIP tents or whatever, what are those beds? And she pulled off a sheet and she said, "What's this? We're not poor." Did you catch that?
The blue thing. Like, what was it? And well, she was like picking it up. They wanted to show her like what, cleaning up and setting.
There was no explanation. She's like, "We're not poor."
No.
I thought, what is this?
Well, and the whole thing being called like Lindsay Lohan's beach, it's beach house, right? Or is it beach club?
It's beach. I've Googled the this like house 50 the place. Times. I've Googled it 50 times and I still am confused. I think it's beach club.
Okay.
The name of the show is beach club. Yeah, the show is beach club.
Wow. Well, I've never been. Is this like a big destination, like vacation spot? I mean, I know Mykonos is, but enough to like really have a place.
I don't know. Scott, we have to talk about a scene that really, really drew me in. This was at the beginning of the episode. Lindsay arrived to the resort. She gathered everyone around, all these kids, and she said, "I want us to write our goals on paper."
Yes.
And so they handed out paper. And everyone wrote their goals. The goals were all, then they all mixed up the papers. So, like, everyone wrote their goal. They mixed them all up as if it was a game of, like, fucking apples like to apples.
They were
going to
guess
something.
Whose paper was whose.
It was very bizarre that they all just, like, mixed them up. And then they started reading them. And they were all, like, such basic, like, "I want to rule the world. I want to personally grow.
Take over Mykonos and then take over the world."
Okay. "I want to improve my work ethic." And it's like, you're working with Lindsay Lohan. But then they all were reading them. And Lindsay took Brent's piece of paper, and she just said, "I'm saving this for later."
What did that mean?
I don't know.
What did that mean?
It made no sense. It was like a lot of these cutaways with Lindsay. It's like, they're little clues that I feel like we're going to have to put together.
Well, and then Panos tried to like give a throwback to it to hers. It was like, "I'm putting this away for later." And I was like, "I don't understand this joke. What am I missing?" Right. And she's like, "I'm going to remember you said that," or something. Or is she trying to flirt with him? And
that's what I was thinking too. I was like, is this a flirtatious move? Like, she's like saving it for later because she likes him. Like, she likes
the boy. She's trying to flirt. It's not working. That's why she's like, "He can go. Get him out."
It's all so bizarre.
Yes.
And then, you know, they're reading Aristotle said he had social anxiety. And Lindsay's like, "Well, you know, why do you, you seem so personable?" And he's like, "Well, I'm good one-on-one, but, you know, I have social anxiety." And she just goes, "Fuck them all."
Oh, yeah. They had subtitles for that, too. Wait a minute. But, fuck like, also, all. Social anxiety, he works in a gay bar, he said, like a gay club.
Yeah.
That is, like, you can't work in a place like that, in that environment, and have social anxiety. Like, I go there and have social anxiety, and you have to be there.
Did he work at the Abbey? Is he the one that worked at the Abbey?
I look like Revolver. Mm. Not that I go to those bars.
And then, wait, did Mike, one of them worked at the Abbey, I think. Was it by Mike?
Mike, I don't go, I haven't been to the Abbey in a long time, and I don't know him.
I don't know, but that whole scene where she's like giving them life advice, and I'm thinking like, what the fuck are we all doing? Like, everyone's sitting here listening to her give life advice.
Well, she like calls Oprah and asks. I can't believe they don't like blur the name out. She used it so many times. Is she allowed to? Can they use that name and likeness?
She really did mention Oprah like multiple times.
Multiple times. Yeah. She's like, "I have her on speed dial." Oprah's like, gets her number changed every day.
She did. Also, in interviews, she's like mentioned people are, I don't know if it was Watch What Happens Live or what, they were like, "When's the last time you talked to Oprah?" She's like, "Well, I text her every month," or something like that. It's like, what the fuck is happening?
It's her assistant.
What do you think Oprah and Gail just laugh about it? When
they're like, "Our poor Lindsay."
So she's giving them life advice, and then she takes Brent's piece of paper, and then Lockies, the VIP gay, shows up.
Yes. And, oh, yes. Oh, God.
And he's the one with the hats and the dogs. Yes. He was wearing a very big hat, and then he also had, like, layers underneath the hat of, like, scarves.
There was something. I guess it's fashion?
It was very high drama.
It was super high drama. Well, then, like, the washing the feet. Well, and to get him to spend money, he orders a pineapple juice. It's like, is this going to be just this client that they bring in that does not drink and is just a nightmare?
Yeah.
He was kind of funny about the dogs, though. Did he make some funny comment? He was like, "Don't talk to them because they don't understand anything."
He was so bizarre.
It was very bizarre.
I mean, he was so bizarre. And Brent and Aristotle were assigned him. And also, did you find it weird? It was like, so Lindsay was like, "Brent and Aristotle, you're going there." And that was the moment where I was starting to think, like, is this a prostitution ring? Because last week, the like girl, Lindsay, threw the VIP girl, Brent, and was like, "Go please her."
See, this is what I was thinking. And then I was like, but then why would she pick Aristotle? If they wanted them to do anything for him, send the bi gay guy. Like, they sent.
But maybe I feel like Lindsay is like,
to test them to see how far they would go.
Maybe.
I don't know. I also Brent's feel like toxic masculinity really came out, though.
He was the worst.
It's so gross. He just was like, oh, he's on his knees, washing his feet. It's like, He's like, I would never stoop that low. I love the flashback, though. Like, shout out to the editors, the flashback.
And the producer,
and he's like, I would
too.
Never do something. He's just making out with her, like, on top of her.
The producer and the producer was like,
I love what
was
the
like, but wait a minute, didn't you just? And he's like, well, whatever.
He's like, well, it was the hot girl, and I could have got laid. I bet you're gonna go boycott Gillette. Like, God,
he's the worst.
Yes,
but I love when they keep a producer voice in.
Oh, it's the best because you know that it's important, and you know that it's throwing some kind of shade.
I mean, I will say, like, I hate Brent. He's a complete monster, the worst human I've ever seen on TV. But on some level, it was like some of the things that Aristotle, or he was going by Ari at some points.
Yeah,
did you notice that?
And then I heard the Mike Gay Bye guys call him Stottle.
So what are we calling
him? So I think Ari is what Lindsay called him. The TV show calls him Aristotle, and then people are starting to call him Stottle.
A lot of the names
Either way,
I'm still
as long
learning.
As he keeps his shirt off,
he's
gorgeous.
He's good looking.
He is good looking.
But some of the things he was doing with this Lockies guy was a little bit like when they were doing those fucking gymnastics.
Well, he was like, fall into my arms. It was like people trying to flirt and like not working.
That was amazing. That was amazing though when they were doing those like when he was like lifting
the airplane.
What is like, that?
Like they called airplanes, right? Or he had his knee on his knee. The guy seemed athletic, acrobatic.
Lockies was fucked up on something, but it didn't seem
something
like
was
alcohol
going on.
To me.
Well, pineapple juice and probably G.
Lockies also had a tag coming out of one of his
no
hats or scarves or something. Like there was for sure because I paused it around it. There was for sure a tag.
Shit,
like a Nordstrom's tag or something that was falling off.
I need to know. You're picking up on all these things that I'm missing. I gotta go back.
I know. Well, look, I take crazy notes.
Yeah.
but the tag, I mean, how could you miss that? But so did you think Ari was Aristotle, whatever the fuck we're calling him? Do you think he was doing things he shouldn't have been doing? Or do you think he should have done all that shit?
Listen, I was actually just having this conversation with somebody. I used to work at a gay bar in West Hollywood, and I would make really great tips at night. I'm not going to wash anybody's feet, but it is, if you
You'll
want
suck a
to,
toe.
You will make, I don't think I'd suck a toe if I wasn't getting paid. I wouldn't do it if I was getting paid. Wow, that sounded bad. No, but like you find yourself, there's a lot of flirting and a lot of, you know, things that you might not necessarily do. This is sounding worse and worse. I'm not like making out or washing feet.
So what you're trying to say is
you
suck a dick.
But if
you
want to make money, if you're told by a boss, especially like make this client happy and you're at a beach club, especially like feet are there. I wouldn't do it at a bar, but you got to do it.
Right.
Why not?
I mean, I'm curious what the tip is. They haven't showed us that yet. Because on Below Deck, I always like, at the end of the episode, they'll be like, oh, we got a $18,000
18 tip. Large.
Right.
Yeah.
That was a good, like, Captain Lee.
Thank you. Hey, we got to eat. Okay, I'm not going to do it again.
Remember when Captain Lee was like, I'm going to eat that ass for dinner.
Captain, would you like some dinner?
No. I'm
going to
eat somebody's ass for dinner.
Ooh.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I loved it.
Oh,
but yeah, so we get to know the tips. And so I'm curious, what are these people making on tips on Lohan's beach house or resort or whatever?
Well, they're only showing like a very brief moment in time at the club actually working. Like, we don't really see anybody else. They like walk around and sell money. But like, do they get paid hourly? Are they?
They need to clear a lot of this up going forward. Because I feel like there's a lot of confusing things. Like, who's in the cast? How much money are they making? Like, how much time are we going to be spending at the club?
Yeah, like, are they waitresses? Like, are they taking orders at bars and bringing drinks? Or are they walking around saying, hey, buy a bottle, and if you do, you get a tip?
What
like,
was that?
That was, hey, buy a bottle. That was my jewels.
Also, though, like, what are – their costumes are different all the time, too. Did you notice that?
The first day was in a theme. It was, like, Grecian.
Yeah.
They were, like, white, but it doesn't really set them apart.
Yeah. I don't know. It was confusing.
Who
There's
knows?
A lot of confusing stuff. And then also I need to know, like, how much time am I spending with Lindsay and her friends? And then how much time is it going to be with the young kids? Or
right. They're showing us, like, her at home. Is it kind of the same, like, algorithm as Vanderpump Rules? Like, sometimes we see Lisa having dinner with Ken, but then...
Kind of. I just feel like maybe because I'm used to Vanderpump because I've been watching for so many years.
Yeah.
I think this one,
it's a perfect show.
It's the perfect show. But I'm just a little confused. But I still love this Lohan.
Oh, yeah.
But so Sarah is into Brent at the beginning of the episode. And
yes.
they're trash, but Brent is trash. And I was so mad at first at the beginning when she was like, I'm into him. But, you know.
Yeah, I wanted to choose Billy, who I didn't even know who he was until this episode.
Billy was so cute,
he was
too.
So sweet, but he was like whispering all quiet. Like he was going behind Brent.
Right. And Brent is completely overstepping the managing boundaries.
Oh, yeah.
And Lindsay's right off the bat a little bit nervous about it. And we see Lindsay meet with Panos,
mm-hmm.
and this was
the FaceTime meeting or
no,
the
no.
Other?
The remember when they are at the they were at the resort, or Lindsay was sitting down at the resort.
Oh, maybe with the it was baby, Panos, right before the baby.
No, and the baby. That was one of the scariest scenes I've ever seen.
She like threw. She was like, "Yeah," and you were like, "Don't throw my baby."
I don't feel comfortable with her around babies at all. Like no. After that Instagram live, I don't think we need to see her with babies. Also, shocking that babies are even at this resort.
Like it's wild. Like where's your ID?
She mentioned that like it's a resort for families and everything last week,
which is I was not seeing that. I didn't see that coming.
but it's like if it's for families, then like why are you throwing your staff at the VIP girl and telling them to fuck her?
Well, to make a family.
That's true.
For the club.
But seeing her grab that baby at 3 p.m., I got so nervous. She asked to hold it, and I was like on the edge of my fucking seat. I don't like this at all. She seemed to really like babies. I don't want her. I'm worried about her around any baby.
Oh, like any baby, like any baby she's even related to. Like holding my niece and nephews, like I get scared. And she right. just grabbed this random baby and was like, peekaboo, like throwing it in the air. Right. And his father was like, you know, they showed him smiling, but he was smiling, I bet he wasn't.
On the inside, he was dying.
He was dripping sweat.
Do you watch 90 Day Fiancé?
I don't.
There's this guy on there who's like, he's very, something's wrong with him. Like something's up and he's not good with children. His name is Asuelo. And I always worry he'll like hold the baby like on his shoulders or something. And every time I watch it, I get scared. He's going to like drop the baby because he's all not there in the head. I don't think.
Ugh.
And I literally get nightmares about him like dropping his baby. And that's how I felt with Lindsay. I was like, just, it was like working me up in a way that I don't care for.
Yeah. No more families.
Yeah. I wrote in my notes at this point in the episode, does Lindsay still have Brent's list of goals?
She kept it.
I want to know where she put it.
I mean, would they show us that little clip if she isn't planning on bringing it back later? Like maybe next week he does something and she's like, you said you wanted to take over Mykonos. You're not.
Last week I talked about her sex list. Did you ever see that?
No.
She like released her sex, like somebody leaked her sex list.
Wait a minute. I feel like I do remember this.
You remember this?
Yeah.
Somebody leaked her sex list, and then she confirmed it and said it was like part of her therapy to write down all the people she fucked.
Oh, it was people she had sex with. How many people were on the list?
There was like 30 or something.
Okay.
And there were all these famous men. It was like Jamie Dornan, Orlando Bloom, Zac Efron, James
Franco.
Did
anyone deny it?
No, I think a couple people maybe confirmed it. Benicio Del Toro.
Oh.
It was like an insane list. Ryan Phillippe.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, they were.
I mean, good on her.
Good on her. Some of them were like literally asshole men, you know, like James Franco or something. But I don't know. It was interesting. You need to look it up.
I'm going to. I have so many things to look up.
The knife
pictures. You need the knife pictures with Vanessa Prelachey.
So we see Billy going after Sarah. I'm into this coupling, but again, I was mad at her for still being into Brent. And Billy said he lets women in the driver's seat at the beginning of a relationship, and I like that.
Well, he was like, what did he have a moment? He was like, you know, I like to let women know, but they need to let me know that they know that I know that they know. Like, it was like a back and forth. And it was kind of like, okay, so what is this? It was like a Friends moment. Like, they don't know. We know they know.
That's my favorite episode of Friends.
Oh, it's so
good.
Oh, my boyfriend's never seen it, and we're watching it from the beginning. We're in season 3 and getting into, like, the meat. We're on the break. We're on, like, the Ross and Rachel
break. We were
break.
On a break.
Yeah, oh, yeah, we're there. Anyway.
Oh, that's amazing. So then, meanwhile, while this is going on, we have Brent being a complete asshole. Just when we thought he couldn't be more of a monster, he said that Sarah, he was proud. First, he was with Sarah and he said he thinks she looks better without makeup. And I hate when people say that. Did you catch that?
Well, I think the way he said it too, he was just like, you almost look better without makeup, I think he said.
Right.
Than you do with makeup. Like, not like you do, it's like you almost look better without makeup than you with makeup. And it's like, wait a minute.
Such a fucking asshole.
What a prick.
I also hate when men, like, assume that that women want to know what they think about how they look without asking.
Totally.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Totally.
There was Lisa Rinna had like posted something, some meme I made online, you know, and so all these people like comment on it and they tag me in it, you know, and some guy, there was like a lot of people. One guy was like, "You need to stop with the fillers." His name was Gary, And he was like, you need to stop with the fillers right now. Listen to me. And I'm thinking in my head, like, she didn't give a fuck what you think, yeah, Gary, from wherever.
Who? Yeah.
It was like, she'll do whatever. Like, let women do whatever the fuck they want to do. And if anything, like, let their husband decide. Like, if their husband says, oh, I like, if they ask their husband, do you like my hair long or short? Let the husband can ask. But for random straight men, sometimes they think they have, they're allowed to just be like, I like you better like this.
Yeah. You look better like you. This way. It's like, gay men can say that.
Yeah.
Like, there's some of my girlfriends, I'm like, please wear a high ponytail. You look so much better than when your hair is down. But then he also says something. Doesn't he say, like, she needs to lose, like, 7 pounds or something?
Yeah, he was like,
which, it's like, first of all, what the fuck are you talking about? Her body is, like, dynamite.
Let's talk about this. He said all the girls were, like, twos and she was a five. Like,
and hall
pass.
Is that the term? Is that the correct term for that? Isn't hall pass like when you're getting married and you can sleep
and
with someone?
And you can fuck someone else, yeah.
I don't know what... I've never seen the movie where they do the hand thing.
No.
But
like, such a... Like, the things he was saying, and they were all listening. And I was actually getting mad because the girls were listening and say all these awful things about them. And I was getting mad. I'm like, somebody needs to go over there and, like, fucking punch him in the face.
Well, somebody needs to sleep with him and just see just how tiny
his That's a good idea.
Little weenus is.
But I just, some of the, everything that he was saying in this moment. And I was also getting mad. Who was he talking to? Was it Billy?
Yeah.
And I was getting mad. Like, why didn't the guy say anything? Like, and those girls are all gorgeous. Like, the girls that are in the house.
Well,
like,
if I was Billy, I wouldn't tell him to stop either. I'd be like, I'm getting, this is great.
Good ratings.
This is all recorded. No, this is all recorded. I'm not, That's this true. Is, this guy's digging his own grave. And he know he probably could see the girls upstairs. He probably could hear them talking.
It's disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, I thought, finally, Sarah goes up, and she just pours the alcohol over his head.
Yeah, and, like, stood there for a while.
She stood there for a while, and I was so thrilled. It made me so fucking happy that Sarah did this. And then she walked, like, she did it. It was, like, very slow motion, and he just took it. I was surprised he kind of just took it.
He, like, didn't even move. Yeah. And someone else threw a drink, too. Was that
maybe
Janita? I think so. Like, and they didn't like each other at first, right?
No. I got so happy during this scene because they didn't like each other at first. And then they literally did this, like, thing to this asshole. And then they walked away hand in hand.
Oh, yeah. Well, and then all the girls, even, like, May, who, like, was having the issues with Sarah, they were all inside just, like, laughing. And they're like, yeah, Ben's stuck. I'm like, yes.
I felt such a release.
Oh, yeah. It was so great. And then Brent's just puking.
Right.
It's, like, good.
He was puking on the side of the road. Like, what road was he on?
They brought him out front. Like, isn't there toilets? Like, something. But they were out, like, on a road, and he starts going, bring me a towel. Like, he's just still an asshole.
Another thing, though, I just didn't, that was, like, unexplained. Like, where I thought they were maybe trying to bring him to a hospital at first, because I thought, why is he in the road?
I don't know what they were trying to do, but you know Mike's going to try to do something one of these nights.
Mike's messy,
Brent,
right?
He keeps getting that drunk. Oh, yeah.
This episode of Everything Iconic is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. Now, I'm not sure if you've noticed, but it's definitely allergy season. You all know I've been struggling a little bit. I usually love the springtime, but I struggle with my allergies, which are just not the most fun. But luckily with Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, the only tissues I like to use, I can say, bring on the blooms, and I can face those allergies head on. Now, Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved, so you can attack watery eyes and battle runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. That's why I love these, because they're so incredibly soft, and I don't want to touch my nose with something that's not. Now, I am obsessed with Kleenex. I think they are so really just the best to do it. So for this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on. Again, this allergy season, do not pick up something else. Grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
I liked how Mike was like, Aristotle, I dare you to get naked. I was like,
yeah.
Thank you, Mike. That's
He's like,
need.
Chug a beer or get naked and rub it on me.
Have you ever met Mike? Did we talk about that?
I don't think so. He looks like somebody that I can picture working in West Hollywood. I think
picture working in West
Well,
Hollywood.
It's a guy that works at, I think, Fiesta, and he looks exactly like him, but I don't think it's him.
Yeah.
It might be.
I want him to team up with the girls and hating Brent. I mean, it seems like he doesn't like Brent, but I want him to, like, you know how the girls were in that room talking about Brent?
Yeah.
I want him to go in there and just, like, join forces.
He wants to join forces with them, and then so he can go, like, you know, be there to cry Brent into his shoulder.
Wait, are you attracted to Brent?
No.
At all?
No, I mean, not even looks wise like when I first saw him.
Before you heard him talk?
He's not, I'm not my...
Who would you most want to sleep with on this show? Aristotle? Ari? Toddle?
I guess, Toddle. I guess him, like, now that, like, he's, like, talked and whatever, he seems, like, super sweet. But, like, when they first were on, I guess I would say Mike. Something about Mike. I like his thick body.
Interesting.
He's my boyfriend, Liz.
Well, you heard it here first.
He knows.
So then we also see a scene of Lindsay cooking dinner, and this was where she was referencing Oprah again. And she's just with a bunch of gays cooking fish. She made like a really weird Martha Stewart joke. Did you catch that?
It didn't make sense.
Didn't make any sense, and they all fucking laughed.
I'm not Martha Stewart. I've been to jail. It's like, she has. She has been.
Scott, I rewound it 4 times because I was like, what the fuck did she just say? Like, what is this joke?
And they just all died laughing.
It didn't make any sense. And then at one point, like, I thought someone was knocking. So, like, I peeked my head out the other room. And so I missed what was going on. And then I saw her give a gay a pill.
Oh, yeah. You came back and he was swallowing. He's like, take it.
He was like taking a pill. And I was like, what's going on? Like, and I don't know what it was. I didn't rewind that part.
Twas an eyeball.
It was an eyeball.
Oh, yeah. Like, they literally, like, they showed them cutting the head off the fish. And she was like, eat the eyeball. And that's why he took it and was like, do I have powers now? Because I ate a fish eyeball.
Wait. They had the eyeball.
They had fishes wrapped in saran wrap. That I'm just like, this, you can't like buy this like deboned or something. I wouldn't know how to take bones out of a fish. Like, I'm not.
Well, Lindsay said, well, we're in Greece.
Yeah. She's like, when in Rome? It's like, no, Lindsay, we're in Mykonos. She's like, what? Give me an eyeball.
Wait, so he just ate the fucking eyeball?
Yeah.
I literally thought he took like ecstasy or something. I was like, what's going on? Yeah,
well, if he was the only one, that would be a rough night for him. Yeah. But like, aren't they supposed to be like a delicacy? Like fish eyes?
I don't know. I don't eat seafood.
Me neither.
Yeah.
I'm allergic to a lot of it.
Do you want more of Lindsay at home? I do.
I need more. Like when they would like FaceTime her, I wanted to know where she was. Like when Panos was talking to her. I want to see more of her. Like, what is she when she's like, I'm a boss. I'm like, what are you? You are a manager right now. I want to see what are you a boss?
I was expecting to get a little more Lindsay. I wasn't expecting to get a ton of Lindsay, but I was expecting more than we're getting.
Well, I'm hoping that it's sort of like how we felt about Vanderpump Rules at first. Like, I think when we all watched it, it was because like, oh yes, I fucking love Lisa Vanderpump. She has her own show.
Yeah.
And let's see her like run her business. And then the characters like developed, like we'll start to learn their names. Like in the beginning, like we didn't know who these people's names, we didn't know their names. And now it's like there are.
I was going to print out pictures, like headshots of them. So as we're talking, we can look. Cause last week I was like, I don't know who the fuck's who. And now I feel like we know them.
Oh, like I went through this morning actually and like fast forwarded to like see their names and be like, that's Jules, that's May.
I did love, so Brent was a mess and he was throwing up on the side of the road. And at one point, like Mike was carrying him and Brent's belly was out and he just looked like he was like half asleep. And I was just like, good. I'm so glad that we're getting this footage because he's such a fucking asshole.
Well, but then there was no remorse when he woke up the next day. Like he was still a dick at the meeting.
Also, did you catch when he was sleeping like underneath the table?
Yeah, and Mike was sitting there. He's like, I fell asleep for 5 minutes and I miss all the good stuff. And he was like touching him. I'm like, don't do it, Mike.
As much as I hate Brent, I do think he's needed for the show. And I don't know that he was like perfect for reality TV. And like, I don't want him to go anywhere. At the end, they were like doing this thing. Well, he might get fired. And I'm like, they can't fire him. Like the show needs him.
Well, and it's like at this point, like if he was to get fired, like 3 episodes in, the editors like probably wouldn't have included in this much. They don't want us to get attached to somebody they're going to get rid of, do they?
No. I mean, they're going to find reasons to keep him around, just like Vanderpump keeps Jax around.
Yeah.
But see, at least on Vanderpump, I think they've been able to get rid of people from working at Sur and still keeping him around, like Kristen and Stassi.
Oh, yeah. Kristen's still there.
I don't know how they would do that on this show, though.
Well, not yet. If they got rid of Kristen season one, she would have been fired. That would have been it.
God, think of all the things we would have missed.
So many good things. Wait, when did they fire her? It was like a while.
I think it was in like season 3 or 4 when she told Diana to suck a dick.
Remember
she had, she's like, outside. Diana, stay out of this.
She's like
a dick.
Shaking, suck a dick.
Oh, I love her. You know, she was on Watch What Happens Live the other night, and she was like the mess. She was voted like the messiest one. They did like this thing, and then she was saying she's a social justice warrior because they were. Andy was like, you know, somebody asked why you are so hung up on, you know, bringing James down. And she's like, well, I'm a social justice warrior.
It's like, also, what is with her t-shirt line? Why is it called James May? Did she ever explain that?
No.
It's his name. It's like literally his name.
It's
James.
I didn't even put that
together. Who's May? Like, is it like her middle name? I'm just like, it's James. And it was a couple years ago. She was coming up with it when she was with him. She didn't change the name.
Scott, I literally never thought of those.
Like, literally his name.
That's crazy.
And her shirts are just insane.
I mean, at least they're better now. Everything will
work out. It always has.
Do you remember?
It always has. What do you mean?
The old designs were way worse, though, because the grammar was all over the place. It was like no one proofread those designs.
It's just like a basic girl's like living room. Like, live, love.
Live, laugh, laugh.
Life, laugh.
Gather.
Yeah.
It was, yeah, it's tough. But I love Kristen. And so we can't get rid of Brent. We need him there. And I think doing this whole thing, like this will they or won't they fire him, I think we just need to get rid of that idea. Like, let's just say that we're keeping him around.
They got to keep him.
I just saw an interview in Page Six with the cast. Remember I said I saw some new person there? He was in that. And so he's going to be around. They wouldn't have him doing press for it.
I think they'll keep like bringing, we'll keep seeing new people. Like, we didn't get Billy the first week. We got him this week to see, like, you know, how the blogs respond, how people respond, who they want around.
And new people are coming, I think, because there's that Kayla girl from The Challenge who's coming at some point.
Which girl?
Her name's Kayla. She was on The Challenge and she is messy and she's apparently like, I haven't been following. Some people have been sending me stuff she's saying online, like, I have tea to spill on Lindsay and like all that kind of stuff.
Oh,
so
wow.
She's like, comes unless there's a possibility she was there and she was edited out maybe.
Oh shit. And that's why she's coming forward.
But she's coming forward and I need to reach out to get her on the show and figure this all out.
Yeah, you gotta get the tea.
So the next day though, Brent said he slept 3 hours and then Panos showed up in that Rainforest Cafe romper.
Like, I know. I think I like have that, but I ordered it online. It was like really cheap.
It was very cute.
Yeah.
I could never pull off a romper. Have you ever worn a romper?
Oh, I own like three because I bought them for my trip to Hawaii, but then I put them on and I cannot pull off a romper. I have the shortest torso.
Very few people can.
Oh, Scott. It's like not even a thing for me anymore. It'll never happen.
I was so distracted. I mean, he was talking to Brent at some point and he said, you know, they were trying to have a one-on-one. And then at one point, Panos said he needs 4 hours for a one-on-one.
Yeah, like each.
I thought like, what the fuck's going on?
That would be a nightmare.
And then Brent completely walked off the job. So it made it seem like he was done.
Yeah.
It was very dramatic.
Well, even in the meeting, and it was like, if he was like, I got 3 hours of sleep, it's like, okay, that's fine. So that probably means if they were up that late, that means he was still probably drunk at that meeting. And that's why he was still a little belligerent.
He was an asshole.
Yeah.
He's always an asshole,
He's
though.
An asshole.
And then Panos FaceTime Lindsay, and I need her to be there.
Yeah. Like, where is she?
Where is
Mykonos
she?
Making us small, she said, where are you? At home?
Catching those fish.
Like, this is, you just got new people catching those fish.
Did you ever see? I keep bringing up. I have another thing that you need to look up. Lindsay fishing. Just Google Lindsay fishing.
I have so many things. Lindsay knives, Lindsay fishing.
There's another. There's pictures of Lindsay with cigarettes and in one hand and a fishing pole in another.
Why does she always, is that like her prop?
Now I'm
literally. She's like a Hollywood starlet.
I am going to go and like just collect photos of Lindsay with a cigarette.
Yeah, you need to make a
You can literally collage. Find her doing everything with a cigarette. But yeah, there's these fishing photos. It's like she's got a beer and a cig in one. Like, so she's holding the beer with
like deep sea fishing or like,
and
you
she's
know,
on a boat.
On a dinghy.
She's on a boat like in the ocean or, wow. You know, some body of water and she's fishing with a fishing pole. And then she'll like, I mean, there's so many.
Are these like the golden years?
These were more recent.
Oh, wow.
These were like maybe 3 or 4 years ago, I'd say.
Wow.
I don't know. But I want her to be there. And Lindsay, occasionally she'll have these astute observations. Like she said to Panos on the FaceTime that Brent is drunk and wants attention.
And it's it was brilliant.
It was brilliant. It was almost like she was explaining herself.
Yeah.
She's like, I've been drunk and need attention.
Well, that's why she saved his list for later. She's like, we relate.
That was the episode.
Like it was, I mean, it was a lot. And we need her there though, for real.
We need her there. But I'm loving this cast of characters. I think they found a good
cast. It's exciting. I'm wondering, like, with, like, were we talking about this on or off? Is she drinking again?
Sobriety.
Yeah, because if she is, why aren't they showing her being maybe, like, drinking responsibly or whatever? Or if she isn't, if they're not showing it, is it part of, like, her probation, parole,
it's
whatever
another
it is?
Elephant in the room that it's like, what's going on with her sobriety?
Because like, if she shows that, could she get in trouble? Is that, like, a thing?
And I think, like, I was talking on the show last week, like, I don't know how appropriate it is to comment on someone's sobriety, but she's been so public about her sobriety struggles and stuff.
Yeah.
So I feel like having a show centered around her, I feel like we deserve to know like what's happening with her sobriety. Because
I mean, Kayla, are you?
I don't think she's sober at all.
Yeah.
Which is fine if you're, you know, she's not
totally
deciding to be sober.
But the problem comes in when you are drinking and hiding it. That's like when you, like, if you feel like you have to hide it for the camera, then you're drinking alone in your room and hiding it.
I need them to tell us. Like, there's all these things. That, it's like, I just need to know the setup. So the whole episode, I'm not, like, worried. Even the fucking thing with the baby, it's like, I feel like we should have at least acknowledged that she tried to steal a baby.
Yeah. Like,
I feel like the show needs to acknowledge
that. Not the first
that.
Time.
Right.
Like, she got punched in the face last time, right? Give me those kids.
They're showing us a scene of her holding baby. Like, I need them to flashback to her Instagram video.
Like,
just to know that the producers are aware that this happened. Because I feel like they're almost trolling us.
It's like all I can think about, that video. It's just the most wild thing. Right. Did it ever get explained, truly?
It was never explained. And on the press tour, it's clear to me that they told whoever's interviewing her, they're not allowed to ask about it.
God.
And it's like, what the fuck? Like, that was a very dark time, and it was very recent. I feel
it
like
it was so recent. Wasn't it like a month ago?
MTV is trying to hide it from us, and
I
don't appreciate
it. The way she
it.
Was talking, it was just like...
It was... It's fucked up, and it's completely unacceptable.
Oof.
And the fact that everyone's just moving on is insane. And so on the scenes from next week, she also has one of those lines. Like, Alesso is coming to the... resort, and she had one of those throwaway lines where it's like, what the fuck are you saying? She said she feels like Putin as she's like,
I was just gonna say it was, and my recording like paused on that line, and I couldn't remember what it was, and she's like holding like some sort of gun or something, right?
It's like one of the best parts of the show. It's like, you're like, what the fuck's going on?
I feel like Putin.
I don't
and
know.
They always have to give her subtitles too, which is great. like we don't understand her.
Her grasp of the English language is all over the place.
I feel like Putin.
Like, what does it mean? I don't know. I need to figure it out.
And why do you feel like Putin? We need to know.
We need answers.
We don't get enough.
I didn't mention this too, but there was also the first Mean Girls reference in this episode. Mike said something about, like, you go Glenn Coco.
Oh, that's right.
Mike, yeah.
Oh, are they going to... Oh my God. I just, when I heard that, I was like, okay, so he is gay. Like, that was like my first thought, right. But now I'm realizing.
So you're skeptical. You don't think he's bi.
I, he could be bi. I don't, I won't say that, but I think he's gay. But you know, who am I to judge? I've dealt
with. Have you slept with a woman?
I have.
Yeah.
Very long time ago. I'm very old.
Scott, now I want to talk a little bit about you. You're on Grace and Frankie.
Yes, ma'am.
How is that going?
Good. Well, this...
Speaking of ma'ams, you are with two of the greatest ma'ams.
Yes. I did not have any scenes with... we're talking about
Jane and Lily.
Oh, I was talking about RuPaul. I'm just
Yeah, kidding. RuPaul's on this
yes,
season.
So three of the greatest ma'ams.
Right.
yes, two of the greatest ma'ams. A lot of... The majority of my stuff in this season that comes out this week, I don't know when this... Or comes out...
This is going to be out tomorrow, so yeah.
Okay. So it comes out this Friday. Watch it. The majority of my stuff is with Robert and Saul, with Martin and Sam, which is just... I mean, I feel like Martin Sheen is my boyfriend sometimes. Like, he's just the sweetest, most incredible man on the planet.
Not to discard that information, but... Do you see Jane and Lily like walking around set and stuff? Like, tell me about them. Like, what's
table reads? Like, in general, like you can tell like they truly are like best friends.
I love them.
Oh, we sit there like they'll make jokes like to each other and like just back and forth quips, and it's like they are their characters in the table reads. It's great.
Have you heard anything about the 9 to 5 sequel?
I have not, and it's like all I can do when I like see them on set to not quote every single line from that movie, because I think me and my siblings watched it probably every day growing up.
I need more. I feel like they announced it and it's like, what's going on?
For the 9 to 5 sequel.
Right.
I don't know.
While I have you here and I'm asking you about trying to get dirt, have you heard anything about the new event? You know about the Avengers, your brother's Captain America.
Yes.
Like, what have you heard about the Avengers?
Well, it's funny.
Is it weird sometimes to think like, oh, my brother's Captain America?
It's like, it's weird. You know, it's weird because I watch so many of the movies and there's very few times I can watch and like really truly get lost in him in anything, because it's like, you know, I still will always see like parts of him and I'm like, that's Chris. Like, that's my brother. But with these movies, it's like he truly has become like the Steve Rogers, like Captain America. And it's like watching it, it's like, you know, it's the movies have evolved so much from his first one, which you know, when you see like little Chris, which is also what I remember from growing up, skinny little Chris, to now, it's like this, the movies as a whole have developed so much and grown so much, and just kind of watching him, it's really fucking cool.
I was just, excuse me, on my Instagram, I was celebrating Varsity Blues, and that led me to your brother's scene in Not Another Teen Movie, which I posted on my thing.
Oh, which scene?
And the whipped cream scene, you know.
Which, like, I saw on the big screen with my whole family.
Oh my God, was that so weird?
18.
That, one of the scenes that made me gay, I remember, like, which I'm sure a lot of gays out there did. But anyway, his body looks totally different. He's like, he looks so, like such a baby.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, and that was like, that was even still grown up.
Yeah.
He was. My mother just actually sent a picture of us at our cousin's wedding from 99 with like all the siblings. And we all look pretty insane.
But so wait, is everyone dead in the Avengers? Or, well, they're obviously not dead, right?
I don't think am I even supposed to know? I know some like plot points of the next one. And yeah. I have so many friends that they'll be like, well, what do you know? And I'm like, well, do you want to know? And they're like, no, don't tell me. Like, it's, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm obviously, I can't give it anyway. I feel like I could get in trouble for that.
How dare you?
But I do know some things. And I know that he has not seen the last movie yet. I asked him that when I just saw
him. How many more are there? Is there one more left?
This is the last one that's coming out. Okay. I think it comes out in May. April or May?
Yeah.
Or something. But yeah, this is like the final, it's called Endgame.
He's like a good woke Chris. Like, everyone on the internet like loves your brother because he's like woke.
Oh, yeah. No. Oh, totally.
So tell him good job.
He's doing great. It'll be like little things. Like, I'll send him and be like, oh, look what's happening to like LGBT rights. And he's like, hold, please. I'm like, you know, we'll go like tweet it. And I'm like, sweet. This is, you know.
He's like great about it. I mean, he's like such a, you too. I mean, both amazing. But the internet's turning on another Chris Pratt.
Well, what did I just see? Is he engaged?
He's engaged to Katherine Schwarzenegger, and he's doing that Bible diet too, which is like, I don't even know. I forget what it's called.
There's a Bible diet?
There's like a Bible diet. It's like,
what is it, like wine and bread? Which would be great.
Anyway, so tell me about RuPaul. RuPaul's on Grace and Frankie.
Oh, so RuPaul, I never met him, never had scenes or anything, but I think you asked me in a text, and I was just like, no, you better believe.
I was like, are you working with RuPaul?
Yeah, I will tell everybody that this is my coworker, this is my colleague.
Co-star.
Oh, yeah, God, water cooler talk. It's insane.
I met him on an airplane once, not very nice to me.
Oh, wow, why?
Very,
well,
very.
How did you behave?
God, I'll tell you. Okay, it was like a very, you know when they say, like, don't meet people that you... It was like one of those experiences, like, oh, this is so upsetting because I love RuPaul so much.
I had one of those with Audra McDonald in a subway once, and I think she didn't mind because not everybody was recognizing her at the time. It was like, she was like on Broadway before like any
TV.
Wait,
she didn't mind? Like, she was nice to you?
No, that I was like freaking out. Her, I like stopped still and I looked at her and she kind of just like shook her head yes to me. And I was like, I love you so much. And she was like super sweet about it. So I loved it.
RuPaul was not super sweet to me, but that's a tale for another time. Anyway, Scott, the last two questions, which I think I might have asked you on the last time you were on the show.
Uh-oh.
But what's your favorite Mariah Carey song?
Oh, did you ask me this the last time? Do you ask?
I ask every guest. But I don't know if I asked you. We did like an after show.
Well, I think I did. I think I said Always Be My Baby last time, just because it reminds me of this girl that sang it in the talent show when I was in like fifth grade that like, I loved. Her name was Amy. Yeah, out there.
Hey, Amy.
That one, but also I don't even think I've heard the whole of this song. But the Mariah Carey, my new favorite snippet from all of the memes is
get the
"How
fuck
about
out.
You get the fuck out?" Can't handle those memes. They're so good. Funny. Me to my parents, I'm gay. My parents.
How about you get the fuck out? Also, who would you choose for sexiest man alive if you were choosing for People Magazine?
Oh, hold
you
on.
You can't choose like your boy. It has to be like an actor or someone.
Oh my God. You were about to say, I can't choose my boyfriend. Yeah, I wasn't even going there. Wow. I have a list. Yeah. Like, come on. I just watched the Friends episode.
Let me see.
Well, okay. Giovanni Ribisi was at the top of my list, but he's a Scientologist.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, I have my taste is
okay,
insane.
Keep going.
Ramin Karimloo. He's a Broadway guy. Julian Edelman on the Patriots. Phil Mattingly on CNN.
Scott.
Daniel Radcliffe.
This list is insane. Daniel fucking Harry Potter.
Listen, I have. Short boys need love too.
Daniel Radcliffe, I actually can see that he's very sexy. There's something about him.
Yeah, I love him.
Scott, I love you. Thank you so much for doing the show.
I love you, Danny.
Again, please come back all the time. Oh, where can people find you on social media?
Oh, on Instagram at Scott Evans Graham, on Twitter at The Scott Evans.
Thank you, Scott.
Okay.
Okay, guys, we got to talk about The Real Housewives of New Jersey. Again, I'm still loving it. I think it's great. Atlanta, I'm like a little, I feel like it's a little snoozy. I've said that a million times, but I'm feeling it to be a little snoozy. Anyway, on New Jersey this week, I want to go through it quickly. So one of the main things was this winery. We had all the girls go to the winery. They all met at Jackie's house. Jen took a tour of Jackie's house. She was like trying to be shady about it. And Jackie's house looked a little cold to me. We got like a little bit more of a tour than we ever have. It looked cold to me, didn't it? I don't know. So they all go to this winery, and it was the saddest fucking winery I've ever seen. It was like them at a picnic table. I don't know that it was a winery so much as someone's backyard. Like, what was that winery? It was so sad. And then it was just them there. Like, no one else was there. But it didn't look like they were on some like gorgeous private tour. You know what I mean? It was just like someone's backyard at a picnic table. They poured them some barefoot, you know, what's that? What's that cheap barefoot wine that I drink all the time? Well, barefoot, not barefoot dreams. Barefoot something. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. The point is they were drinking some shitty wine in the backyard on a picnic table with a tablecloth. Like, it looked like a tablecloth you could get at Party City. It's like so sad. Teresa wasn't even drinking, which I'm tired of this Teresa not drinking thing. I know she's training for this weight building competition. I don't need her doing that. Like, I'm not interested in this weight building competition. I need her drunk and fighting with these girls. The fact that she spent the whole season not eating or drinking, it's like very boring, very uninteresting. And I need her drinking. Anyway, then Jackie and Jennifer get into a little fight, and then Jennifer and Marge get in a little bit of a fight. Jennifer like goes off about Marge and Marge Senior like going after married men. It was very aggressive. And she's saying this, Jen said, I can't relate to people who have affairs with married men. And Marge was, wow, 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 wow. And then Marge said that Jen's husband sleeps in the pool house. And she's like, I saw a bed. I don't know. It was, I like this Jen versus Margaret dynamic. I'm very excited. It's like a different kind of thing than we've seen on here. Very excited to see where it goes. I think it's going to be good at the reunion. But the whole winery scene, it felt like it went nowhere to me. It felt like we were getting little shades of fights, but then they didn't seem to escalate too much. The Marge versus Jen was the most escalation we saw. And then we see Teresa goes to Danielle's, and I don't know. Here's the thing. Teresa was talking about being with Joe after deportation, or after his prison sentence. That was a slip of the tongue. But Teresa in her confessional says she's not even thinking about Joe being deported. She said, because that's negative thoughts. I'm not even thinking about it. And it's like so fucked up. I don't understand. I don't think that that's the best way of going about it. It's just pretending that he's not getting deported. But I have theories, and I don't know that this is true. But my theories are that she's no longer with Joe, and I feel like she just doesn't want to portray that for the TV. Like, I don't think she, this is what I think. It could be wrong. Please don't tweet me. But I think that they're done in real life, and I think she's just pretending that they're together and that she's going to be with them. And I think she really doesn't care about the deportation. I don't think she's trying to not think about it because it's negative. I think she just genuinely doesn't care if it gets deported because I think they're done. Because have you heard? It seems to me that she doesn't seem to visit him a lot, which I know it's far away. I know that's just my theory. Hopefully I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong. You know, I don't want people to get divorced or anything like that. But that's, there were also those weird reports that she was like dating this other guy. And then do you remember she showed up at Countess Luann's like live show and said something along the lines of being divorced, or there was like, she asked a question and it alluded to not being with her husband. Like, there's been signs, I think. And I feel that in a couple years after he's out and maybe deported or whatever, I feel like we're all going to see the truth. You know, like Shannon Bedore said, we'll all see the truth. You will all see the truth. But I think we'll know. I think we'll look back and be like, oh, of course, we should have saw those signs. You know? I don't know. Also, she was at Danielle's. I don't think Danielle's coming back. She's done. This is her last season, I believe. Even though I enjoy her, I don't think she's coming back. The way that they're editing around her and editing her in, it just feels like she's not going to be back. And she seems like so thirsty, like her fight with Marge at the end. it was just so obvious that Danielle was twisting what Marge said, and it's too much. It doesn't work out. There was also a scene of Dolores and Jennifer walking with hand weights, and that was so, that took me back. It reminded me of my mother. My mother loves to work out with the hand weight. And I decided this episode that I love when the housewives work out. I want to see them working out because they're not really working out. They just like pretend to work out. And there's something about that that's soothing to me. So workout scenes, I'm on board for. Then we see Melissa and Teresa go visit Melania. Melania's with her dance instructor. And Teresa's still throwing shade at Melissa. She says to the dance instructor, she said, Melissa's been on stage before, so she's here. Oh, it was so shady. And I need Melissa and Teresa to be on Dance Moms. This was the point in the episode that I noticed, like, my neighbor's dog was barking. Like, I kept hearing, like, a loud barking. And you guys, I think this is something. So I would like everyone to just take this in. And I don't know that it's true, but every time that Teresa was on the screen talking, the dog started barking. Now, I have a theory that the neighbor's dog, like through the walls, can hear Teresa's high-pitched voice. Because did you notice this episode was like extra high-pitched? And it was like every time Teresa was talking, the dog started barking. I swear, it was like when Teresa wasn't on screen, the dog was not barking. So, you know, my theory is that dogs can hear, dogs hear Teresa better than the rest of us. I don't know. Teresa looked so fit in that scene in Melania's dance studio, too. Melania revealed that the dad texted, and that's how all the Joe stuff is sad. Joe texted her, "You do what you do because you do everything best." That was the text he sent, which would like him to pick up a book while he's in prison. But, you know, it still makes me sad that he's texting the kids from prison. I don't like it. And I want this song to be a hit for Melania. I do. Because I feel like she's earned it. She's deserved it. So what else? Oh, so Knit the Grit is the one who created this song. And so we get to this performance. Melania's got this performance space for the whole cast and then some other randos. And it's Knit the Grit who produced it. And then they surprise Melania with Fetty Wap. Fetty Wap just hops on in. And apparently Melania's obsessed with Fetty Wap, which is so surprising to me. Because when I was Melania's age, I was obsessed with people like Mandy Moore. The most basic gay, you know, obsessions. It was like, I wanted fucking Goldie Hawn to appear in my, you know, wherever I was. And quite frankly, I'm upset that my parents never had someone like Blythe Danner show up at one of my events. I don't know why Regina King didn't just hop on in to my basketball practice. That would have been great. But Melania got Fetty Wap, so good for her. And then, I know all the girls show up. Melissa and Danielle are both in camo. And you guys, this moment that happened, I just lived for. So Jennifer arrived with her kids. Dolores was already there. And the camera was focusing on Jennifer greeting all the women. So, you know, and Jennifer had words with Marge. She has some tension with Jackie. But Jennifer arrives with all those kids, those monster kids that she has. And Jennifer's like saying hello to, I don't know, Jackie, Melissa, Teresa, one of them. And Dolores, you could see her in the background with Jennifer's kids. And I rewound, I laughed so fucking hard because the kids and Dolores didn't know how to greet each other. like Dolores was just standing there and it was like, they did this thing where like the kids and Dolores like looked at each other, like, should we hug? And then they end up hugging, and it was, like, the most awkward hug ever. And then Dolores had to hug all of them because she hugged, like, the boy first or something. It was so fucking funny. Like, the most awkward interaction I've ever seen on Housewives. And I've seen someone throw their actual artificial leg. Like, this was just Dolores not sure if she should hug the kids. The kids, like, they were side-eyeing Dolores. Like, do we hug you? It was so funny. Oh, I loved it. So much awkwardness. You know, so Marge in her confessional was talking about how her and Jennifer had words, and she said, sober Jennifer, I like. Drug Jennifer, that's another story. And my Marge is terrible. But so Melania sang her song, and I want to read some of the lyrics. So this was the meat of the episode, besides that weird fight at the end of Danielle stirring the pot, which, whatever. But so Melania's song, I printed out the lyrics. She says, "Hey, it's Melania. I'm sure you've seen me around. You've probably seen me on TV. I'm about to pick up my besties, Tay-Tay and Stephanie. We pop in tags. We ain't chasing boys. We chasing checks. We chasing dreams. We chasing goals. Big things popping. Little things stopping. I can't wait to grow up. I got plans to blow up. Mama said it ain't easy, but I don't care. So what?" Dr. Seuss wishes, you guys. And then she continues, "And our parents told us, don't be too quick to grow up. Dad said it ain't easy, but I don't care. So what?" Ugh. She put in a Joe Giudice reference. Then she says, "I got dreams of being in Vogue magazines, already on to bigger things. Tell the driver to go get my things. I can't wait to grow up. I got plans to grow up." Now, love the song. She's the new queen of pop. That's a given. Meghan Trainor could never. But some of these lyrics were troubling to me because when she says, "already on to bigger things, tell the driver to go get my things," I don't like that she's ordering people around. Then that line where she says, "Dad said it ain't easy, but I don't care, so what?" Look, I don't want any advice from Joe Giudice in a song. I don't feel that he's the person to give advice, and I don't feel like she should be taking advice from him. And apparently, you know, the line is, "I don't care." So apparently Melania's not taking advice from Joe, which is a good sign. But it's still troubling that the advice was referenced, in my opinion. So I thought the song was great. Also, totally batshit crazy. And then, of course, it reminded me of Gia doing that song about her broken family a few years back. Do you remember? It was like season 3 or 4. It was intense. Do you guys remember, like, Joe Gorga and Teresa weren't talking? Like, there was all this problem. And then they gathered everyone in the room for Melania's birthday. And then Gia said she had a song to sing. But then it wasn't really a song. It was just like, it wasn't even a poem. It was like a, maybe like a Rosie O'Donnell version of a poem. I don't know if you guys follow Rosie O'Donnell on online, but sometimes Rosie posts these poems that aren't really poems. They're just like random words. It's like a little story. Anyway, that's what Gia did. And so I went back and watched, and I forgot how chilling Gia's song was back in season 3. And I wrote down the lyrics because it literally shook me to my core. So Gia's song was, let's all just go back, remember where we were at this time, and go watch it on YouTube. It's shocking. Just type in like Gia's song or something like that. But she said, "Waking up in the morning, thinking about so many things. I just wish things would get better. Nothing seems to stay the same. Woke up in the morning, did my hair and makeup and getting my clothes. Walking into school and thinking about what's going to happen next. Ooh." She added like a couple oohs, which quite frankly, Rosie's poems should have an ooh or a doo-wop pop pop. You know what I mean? Like, let's add a doo-wop pop pop into Rosie's poems. Like, Gia could do it. You could do it. Anyway. Then she goes on to say, "Things are just caught up in my mind. I just can't get rid of them. I'm worrying and worrying. I just can't get rid of this. I cannot take chances. It is just too much. Waking up in the morning, going into school, worrying and worrying. It's just too much. Yeah, yeah." She ended with a yeah, yeah. Again, another suggestion for Rosie's poems. Add a yeah, yeah at the end. But Gia's song was just so chilling to me, and I forgot how dark it got. And that was before Joe had been in prison and then up for deportation. Like, this was just when the mom and the brother were having a little fight. Like, what is in Gia's journal now? I'd like to know. I mean, it is some intense stuff. Jersey's given us some moments. I had completely forgot about Gia's song, and then it all came rushing back to me, and I went and rewatched it. And that was, Kathy was in that season, got rest in peace, Kathy. She's not dead, but she's never going to be seen again on Bravo. That's for sure. But Kathy's confessional, she's like, the kids are hurt. And then you remember Caroline was always like so dramatic. So Caroline's, in her confessional, she's like, the kids are screaming. They're screaming to be heard. And it was just so dramatic and wonderful and the best TV. So I was shook and I still am shook. And that was New Jersey. So I'd like to thank all the kids on New Jersey for giving us music. And I'd like to leave this podcast by remembering Kathy Wakili, whose cannoli kit I once bought on a home shopping channel. And whose cannolis were good. Kathy Wakili's cannolis were great. So let's all take a moment. Let's do our little cool down at the end of the episode. Let's all take a deep breath in. Hold it. Take a deep breath out. Take another deep breath in. And now I want you to think of Kathy Wakili. Just think, picture her. Think of your favorite moment. Breathe out. Now, as we all go about our day, I hope you'll take a moment to remember Kathy Wakili, who didn't give us a whole lot of TV, but she was on it for a few seasons. And for that, I think she deserves our respect and our adoration. I love you all so much for listening. Love you, bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.